On this Holocaust Remembrance Day, we can listen, we can learn, we can remember. There are lessons for all of us, for all humanity today.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, if that initial announcement that lead into today's program about the Holocaust and what we can learn from the past and why we must learn from the past, if it sounded a little different, it was a little different. This is Michael Brown. I am sitting in my studio safe and sound now, but I was flying out of Nashville this morning. Flights were delayed. We were not going to be able to get to the studio in time to record the lead-in like we do every day. So trying to find a quiet spot in the airport, I recorded into my phone, then sent that audio recording to Joey, who then engineered it to the best quality possible, hence the dramatic, echoey-sounding lead-in. But we are going to talk about this issue, Holocaust Remembrance Day. If you are one that has a burden for Israel and cares about the Jewish people, this show is important for you. But even if that's not you, this show is important because I want to talk about lessons for all humanity, lessons that we must all learn. And over the course of the show, we're going to hear from a survivor of the Holocaust, a Jewish woman who subsequently became a follower of Jesus, Yeshua. She lost her entire family, except for her sister and aunt, in the Holocaust. And she'll talk about Jesus in the midst of this and how God can work subsequently and bring life out of death, out of hell. I've got a question for you, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. In fact, I've got a few questions. Do you think that there could be another Holocaust? Is it possible that there could be another all-out attack on the Jewish people? Do you think we've learned our lessons and that could not happen and there's not fertile soil for that in enough countries, that Israel has friends in America and too many allies, or Israel is well-armed enough and nothing like this could happen? Do you look at the enmity of the Muslim world and radical Muslims who want to destroy Israel? Do you see prophetically that there could be an all-out attack, or do you see God's preservation and deliverance? Do you think that something as evil and sinister and horrific as what already happened could potentially happen again? Do you think the Bible speaks to that issue specifically? The question of Jacob's trouble in Jeremiah 30, is that something that happened 2,500 years ago? Is it something that happened 2,000 years ago? Is it something that happened 60 years ago, 70 years ago? So it's something still future. We'll talk about that. And another question. Do you think that it's a bit overdone now? You're talking about something that happened in the 1940s. We're in the year 2014. I posted an article on WorldNet Daily Friday night, and it's called The Irrationality of Jew Hatred. I'm going to share some things that people literally believe about Jewish people in the world today. And I was just looking at one of the comments. The comment said, yawn, how long must this card be played on future generations? Do you think we're playing some old card that needs to be dropped and enough with that and the world has learned and let's just move on? This is living in the past. Or is this a matter of learning from the past? What do you think? 866-34-TRUTH. And I want to give you a few updates on some other important issues as well. Whole lot to cover today on this Holocaust Remembrance Day right here on The Line of Fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. A day where we want to step back and listen. We want to step back and learn. We want to step back and think and ask some important questions for today. 866-348-7884. It is Holocaust Memorial, Holocaust Remembrance Day. And I've got a few notes I've written down and some things I want to get your feedback on. Again, one of the big questions is, do you think that we need to keep learning these lessons from the past? Do you think that these things, so horrific, so mind-boggling, could repeat themselves? Do you think that the human race has learned, maybe that we have things in place to not allow this to happen again? Or was it as shocking that things happened in so-called civilized Germany, civilized Europe, that was complicit in this evil atrocity? Is it possible that these things could happen again? And does Scripture speak to this? 866-34-TRUTH. A couple of updates first of importance that relate to this, and then one or two others that are more broad. It has been widely reported that Palestinian Authority leader Mahmoud Abbas issued a statement referring to the Holocaust as the most evil human crime, the most heinous human crime, which is a wonderful statement for someone in his position. In other words, the Holocaust is widely denied in the Muslim world or considered to be an exaggeration. Let's remember that a couple of generations earlier, at the time of the Holocaust, Haji Amin al-Husseini, the Grand Mufti of Jerusalem, one of the most influential Muslim leaders in the Middle East at that time, advocated the extermination of the Jews and is famously pictured a number of times meeting together with Adolf Hitler. So it's positive when Abbas says something like this. The problem is, here's the problem, not to minimize his statement, but his doctoral dissertation was on the Holocaust. And his doctoral dissertation does not outrightly deny the Holocaust, but it says that the idea that there were 6 million Jews killed is a gross exaggeration. It's possibly 1 million or less. I mean, that's still a horrific number, mind-boggling number. His dissertation was published as a book in 1984, The Other Side, The Secret Relationship Between Nazism and Zionism, and he accuses Zionist leaders of encouraging the persecution of the Jews and somehow being complicit with the Holocaust. He says it is possible that the number of Jewish victims reached 6 million, but at the same time it is possible that the figure is much smaller, below 1 million. The historian, this is a quote from Mahmoud Abbas's dissertation, published as a book. The historian and author Raul Hilberg thinks that the figure does not exceed 890,000. Of course, it's 100% false about Professor Hilberg, absolutely false. He said it seems that the interest of the Zionist movement, however, is to inflate this figure so that their gains will be greater. This led them to emphasize this figure, 6 million, in order to gain the solidarity of international public opinion. He says in his dissertation, this is Mahmoud Abbas, the leader of the Palestinian Authority, a partnership was established between Hitler's Nazis and the leadership of the Zionist movement. The Zionists gave permission to every racist in the world led by Hitler and the Nazis to treat Jews as they wish, so long as it guarantees immigration to Palestine. You say, all right, well, that was in the 80s. He's obviously renounced it. No, he hasn't renounced it. He has spoken of the evil of it, but his book, his dissertation, is basically the foundation, according to reports I have in front of me. His dissertation is the basis for Holocaust studies in the Palestinian Authority. So this is what kids are learning that are growing up in Judea Samaria, the so-called West Bank occupied territories. Let's also remember now that Palestinian Authority has joined together with Hamas. They are now in partnership, and Hamas has reiterated that there is no place for a Jewish state, that it wants the annihilation of the Jewish state, the Jews out of Israel, killed, annihilated, exiled, whatever. And they are partners. That's why Israel has said no more peace talks. And our president has even said maybe this is not the time for them after pushing very hard with Secretary of State Kerry to make them happen. These things are relevant. These things are relevant. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to the phones. Michael in Washington, D.C., what's your understanding, either historically or scripturally, of the future?
Yes, I believe that. Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Yeah, I believe that what has happened in the past, if we're not diligent about it as a society, because it's beckoning, trying to happen even as we speak, can it happen if we're not a diligent people? Yes, it can. What has happened in the past, it was a tragic, it was a terrible thing, and it should never have an opportunity to repeat itself. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, and that's what I'm asking for, listener opinion. Obviously, God knows is the ultimate answer. But, Michael, in your viewpoint, could something like that happen in America, either to the Jews or to another people group, to blacks or Hispanics or another ethnic group? Do you think that human beings in our society, they could turn on a people?
We've seen it up in Boston. I forgot what year it was. It was a white woman. She was pregnant, and she was killed. And her husband said that they went through a bad part of town with some black people, and look what happened. You know, the rights of blacks were just put on hold. You know, from the mayor on down, blacks were being strip searched in the street. People's houses being searched unconstitutionally because they were mandated to find this person who killed this pregnant white woman, when in fact it was her husband, her white husband, who turned out to be the perpetrator of the crime. So what had happened was all the politicians came out and apologized, sincerely asking the black reverends, please don't let there be a riot. Please talk to the black community. We understand how upset they can be. So, yes, it only takes some people to be totally upset enough to disregard the rights and the lives of other people. It shows that it's in the heart of man. I don't know why it's there, but it's potentially there.
Got it. Hey, Michael, thanks for weighing in. And listen, any examples that are used, I appreciate the call, any examples that anyone uses could easily be provocatory. Any examples that someone uses, you say, oh, there's another side. But this is the whole point. It's easy to scapegoat to people. It's very, very easy to scapegoat to people. The Asians in our country, let's say Asians are doing better in education. Let's say that they have a better work ethic with kids in school, and they get ahead, and they pass others, and now they're getting positions that you thought your kid was going to get. And hey, it could easily happen. Human beings do evil things. Now, I'm not saying that prophetically I expect another atrocity like a Holocaust or the wiping out of most of the world. That's a whole other subject to discuss. Do the scriptures speak to these things plainly? But the real question is, have we learned? Have we learned the lesson of the past? Is Israel unfairly demonized today in the society? Is Israel unfairly demonized in much of the world? The fact that you have people calling for boycott and divestment and sanctions against Israel, and Israel is now the evil occupier, and Israel builds an apartheid wall as opposed to Israel builds a security barrier to keep murderers out. And all you need is one little seed of truth. One of the big, big lessons to learn from the Holocaust, and I'll give you a few over the next 2 hours, so catch whatever time you're able to, but one of the biggest lessons to learn is that people will believe a big lie. You know, the famous quote, if you tell a big lie enough, people will believe it. And people get so saturated by the media that it becomes very easy to believe these big lies. They lose the ability to think critically. They just take in this information And human beings can do all kinds of evil, ugly things. All right, before we get back to this subject, when we come back next segment, I've got a very exciting announcement to make to it, and one that is going to be a direct blessing to you as listeners. And just to update the article that I wrote, Shattering of Jars of Clay, far and away the most viral thing I've ever written. Just looking now, let's see, it's been shared just on the Charisma News site and the opinion column. Oh, somehow it's slow coming up on my computer. I'm not trying to do this for dramatic effect, but I think it's been shared over 180,000 times. Just one link on one website, 182,000. With some good fruit as well. Things are being shaken up, friends.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire broadcast, 866-34-TRUTH, to join us. Please understand that you do not have an event of such massive import, such horrific damage and destruction, like the Holocaust, happening just out of nowhere. Just like I say, and to use just a very minor analogy on an individual level, if you hear about some pastor, some leader, and quote, they fell into sin, you know, that happily married, loved the Lord, walking in holiness, integrity, purity, doing the will of God, you know, ethical, etc., and then they just, something just happened and they fell into adultery. You don't just fall into it. God's grace is there, his protection is there, his help is there. We have to make wrong choices over a period of time. We have to make wrong choices, lead a wrong lifestyle in certain ways, neglect time with God, neglect accountability, whatever it is. We have to open the door over a long enough period of time before the fall happens. It's not just like, boom, one day somebody goes out and gets stone-cold drunk and kills somebody, even though they're godly. And no, something has to happen. And the same way, now on a massive scale, an event like the Holocaust does not just happen out of nowhere. For those just tuning in, it's Holocaust Remembrance Day, so we're trying to speak of constructive lessons for all of us as believers, regardless of political persuasions, backgrounds, spiritual focus points, larger issues. And the fact of the matter is that without hundreds of years of church-sponsored anti-Semitism, both Catholic and Protestant, the Holocaust could not have happened in Europe. Without centuries leading up to that, where Jews were demonized, where Jews were scapegoated, where Jews were blamed for societal problems, without those things leading up to it, there would not have been the ability to turn not just the people of Germany, but of other nations, be it Poland, be it Austria, and other countries that participated. It could not have happened unless there had been seeds sown for centuries infiltrating the hearts and minds, infecting the hearts and minds of the populace. You may not be aware of this, but in Poland, 3.3 million Jews went through the Holocaust, 3 million killed. 90% of the Jews of Poland were killed. It's a figure that's just too numbing. But if you think of it, let's say here's a mom and dad with their 8 kids, and some killer comes in their house, and only one survives, everybody else is killed. And then you do that with every family in the neighborhood that has 10 kids, and then you do it hundreds of thousands of times. That's what we're talking about. Now, here's the point I want to make. You may not be aware of this, but there were Jews, that very small remnant, that survived the Holocaust in Poland. And they went back to their houses, they went back to their farms afterwards. And in some cases, their Catholic neighbors killed them. How dare they survive? How That's how demonized they were. That's the Catholic side. There's the Protestant side where the Council of Martin Luther to German leaders in 1543, which included rabbis should be forbidden to teach under penalty of death, and synagogues should be set on fire and places of business destroyed, Jewish places of business destroyed. That's exactly what Hitler put into place in what's called Kristallnacht in November of 1938. So there were centuries of destructive seeds planted, centuries of evil lies told, and it influenced the hearts and minds of people so that only a small remnant of real Jesus followers were willing to go against the grain. Only a small remnant, I should say, was willing to go against the grain and stand up and risk their own lives to save Jewish lives. Now, over the course of this program, 2 hours in full, so whatever you missed, just go to my website, askdrbrown.org, later today, click on latest audio. We'll be talking about forgiveness. We'll be talking about redemption. We want to learn practical lessons, but I'm not just talking about the Jewish people in Israel today. I'm talking about humanity. I'm talking about things that human beings can do. And I was talking to a grad last night in Nashville, and he was talking about what he has seen with human trafficking. And the more we talk, we're just talking about the overwhelming evil of human beings, the overwhelming evil, things that we can do. Remember, this was not another race of beings. These were human beings that committed these horrific crimes and that are committing these horrific crimes today, which reminds me of how incredibly merciful God is that he didn't wipe out the human race a long time ago, and how incredibly gracious he is to send his son to die on the cross. And ultimately, there's a message of redemption, even in the midst of the Holocaust, that God can bring good out of the evil, and God can redeem lives, and there's even the possibility of forgiving enemies, as hard as that seems to believe. We'll be sharing more of that in the rest of the two-hour broadcast today. You can continue listening whenever your own station is done. You can continue listening online just by going to Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org, and you'll see the banner, listen live and on the fire, and you do it on your cell phone, your computer, your tablet. All right, I said there was some good news, some exciting news. Here it is. There is a brand new translation of the Bible called the Tree of Life version. It has been done by Messianic Jewish scholars and top Christian scholars working together. I've been involved in the project as well. The New Testament books have been out for some time now, last couple of years, and now the Old Testament books, the Tanakh, the Hebrew Scriptures, the whole Bible is out. Just the first shipment ever is on its way to our offices and several of the ministries, a limited number of copies initially printed. No hype, this is the real deal. And here's what it is. It's a messianic version. For example, it will take some of the key names and phrases that are very Jewish, very Hebrew, in the New Testament and translate them as such. But it's very readable. It's nicely done. So here, let's start off. Matthew 1:1, the book of the genealogy of Yeshua HaMashiach, Yeshua the Messiah, Ben David, Ben Avraham. And then it goes on, Abraham fathered Isaac, Isaac fathered Jacob, Jacob fathered Judah and his brothers. It goes on. So it's familiar language. Matthew 1:18, now the birth of Yeshua the Messiah happened this way. When his mother Miriam was engaged to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Ruach HaKodesh, which is the Holy Spirit. Here's Adonai for Lord. And again, it's a well-done translation, but it's a Messianic Jewish version. Would you like to get the entire Bible and be one of the first people ever to get it? It's yours for your gift of any size. The whole Bible, the Tree of Life Messianic Version through our ministry. We just ask you to be as generous as you can be to help us in our work. And it's available right now by phone only, 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown.
your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, I thought we were going to play a clip right at the beginning of this segment. We'll get to that in a little while. I'm going to play some clips from the testimony of Rose Price. Her family, entire family except for two relatives, killed in the Holocaust. She comes to the States. She begins a new life. And what happens to her shock? Family members start to come to faith in Jesus. In her mind, Jesus was the one responsible for the Holocaust. How could this be? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I'm going to go to the phones in a moment. Do you think that the world could see another Holocaust? Do you think that it's possible that the nations of the world could turn on Israel? Do you think this prophetic scriptures speak of that, or do they speak of suffering for the whole world? Or their promises for Israel to be delivered? What do we make of Daniel 12:1? At that time shall arise Michael, the great prince who has charge of your people, speaking of the angel, the mighty angel, Michael, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never been since there was a nation till that time. You say, well, is that the destruction of Jerusalem in the year 70 or something else it's talking about? It says this, but at that time your people should be delivered, everyone whose name shall be found written in the book, and many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Well, that hasn't happened yet. That resurrection has not happened yet. Therefore, this final event has not happened yet. If we're reading this rightly, is it saying that there will be a horrific time still ahead? Or is that pointing back to the Holocaust? Or are we reading these texts wrongly? 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to the phones in Maplewood, New Jersey. Alex, welcome to the line of fire.
So thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I would like to make a few points. Number one, that we are under this deception that because the world is getting advanced and educated and sophisticated, so maybe there will be no Holocaust, and this is deceiving because self-deception is a true lie. I want you to know that Holocaust is going on in America right now when the babies are killed, 54 million babies killed ever since the Roe versus Wade, that incident took place. In Obama regime, the babies are being sucked out like a vacuum from mommy's tummy, and nobody is, defending the babies because they are in mommy's womb. So Holocaust is going on right now. Another thing is that my point is that when you don't have a true, by the way, I used to be Muslim, and Lord, by his grace, called me to trust in him from religion of Islam.
Praise
so
God.
Praise God. Yes, amen. Once you Lord calls you, then your logic change, your thinking change, your whole approach to life change, your foundation change, because now you are with true and living God and your entire being changed. Before I was blind, now I can see. So what happened is that if they don't have true and living God, the person realize that every human being, like Bible says, our neighbors, love yourself as your neighbor, you love your neighbor, or you love neighbor, you love yourself. Now, that kind of reasoning comes when the Spirit of God comes into you and gives you this particular knowledge. So then you say, hey, no, I don't care how advanced I am or what I am.
To jump in, Alex, where were you born?
Bombay, India.
Ah, okay, you sounded Indian. Thank God for his mercy in your life. Are you hearing what Alex said? It's Jesus changing a life and giving us godly values. That's what makes us fully human.
Send it, Lord.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
There are many bruises on my body in the name of Jesus. I was hit in the head with a cross with Jesus on it by a priest in the habit. And my crime was that I walked on the sidewalk where the church was because I defiled the church. I was 7 or 8 years old at the time.
That's the voice of Rose Price. I was born of Orthodox Jewish parents in Poland. This was an interview she did with my friend Sid Roth. So she grew up in the midst of being hated because she was a Jew, and she was hated by professing Christians. She spent 5 years in concentration camps, narrowly escaping death a number of times. Her entire family, except for her sister and aunt, died in the death camps. She comes to America, gets married. Her husband, Charlie Price, becomes Rose Price, settles in Philadelphia, raising a family with four kids. She was president of her neighborhood synagogue, even though she didn't believe in God. Yeah, some synagogues you could do that kind of thing. But she was obviously angry towards God. And, you know, how could he be there with what happened in the Holocaust? And anyway, one of their kids to be raised in a Jewish setting, and to her shock, they begin to come to faith in Jesus. She's one of a decent number of Jewish Holocaust survivors who are committed followers of Jesus Yeshua today and who have even forgiven their tormentors for what they did. 866-34-TRUTH. Do the scriptures speak of another Holocaust to come? Have human beings learned the lessons from the past? I very much appreciate the call from a former Muslim raised in India, Alex from Maplewood, New Jersey, who was explaining how we have right now in America the slaughter of 55 million unborn children and the justification of this, to the point that the horrors of some abortion clinics killing babies outside the womb. But hey, if the, you know, you're talking about a slight difference killing a baby inside the womb or immediately outside of the womb. But if that could happen in our country on our watch, if the most innocent victims of all society could just be products to be disposed of at our convenience, and I know many wrestled and agonized over abortion, and I don't mean to condemn you if that's your past, especially if you found forgiveness in the Lord, then may your life be used to bring healing and life to others. But the fact of the matter is, these things happen in our society. How long ago did we have segregation in our society? So we treated a whole class of people as if they were less human. And how long ago did we have slavery? And on and on and on it goes around the world, dehumanizing of others, leading to their destruction or persecution. And when I made the statement that it's only through Jesus coming into our heart and changing us that we become fully human, I was short on time. I would have phrased it more carefully. The point being this, that we will not have the viewpoint fully ingrained in our hearts and minds, not just to love God, but to love our neighbors, ourselves, without God coming into our lives and helping us. We need his grace and help because as human beings, we will be selfish. As human beings, we will be carnal. As human beings, we could be full of vengeance, revenge, hatred, bitterness, violence. That's the state of the human race. And I'll make one very simple statement now, and then we'll come back. We'll talk about scriptures. And this is a two-hour broadcast. You may get the first hour where you are, but you can listen to the whole 2 hours on our website, AskDrBrown.org, just by clicking latest audio. We will talk about redemptive aspects of this as well and practical lessons to learn, but I just want to make this basic statement. The only way there will not be another Holocaust, be it of the Jewish people or a slaughter of others, as there have been slaughters of Kurds on smaller levels in Iraq or a slaughter of Armenians in the 20th century and early 20th century, if these kinds of things could happen, The only way they will not happen again is by divine intervention, because this is what human beings are capable of doing. Oh, quick reminder, if you're listening to me right now on WEZE, if you're listening to me on WEZE in the greater Boston area, I am coming to Boston this weekend. I'm doing a leadership meeting Saturday afternoon to talk about authentic fire and strange fire. But if you're a leader, if you're in ministry, excuse me, you're welcome to come. Then Saturday night, citywide meeting, and then preaching Sunday morning. For details, exactly where, when, go to my website, askdrbrown.org, and right where it says contact, just click on itinerary, and you will see the details there. Joey, let's go through some of these clips from the testimony of Rose Price. Clip number two, again, being interviewed by Sid Roth. It's important to understand how the Holocaust looked to Jewish eyes, how it looked like these were Christians involved with it, people who beat them, kill them, and then go home and celebrate Christmas with their kids and go to church. How could these things be? You say, well, they weren't true Christians. That is obvious, but that's the only Christianity that many in the Holocaust ever knew, were ever exposed to. And in some parts of Europe and some parts of the world, that's the main form of Christianity they were exposed to for centuries. 866-34-TRUTH, the phone number to call to get into the discussion about the Holocaust today. Let's play clip number two.
Anti-Semitism, I always knew. I was called Christ killer. I was called dirty Jew. I was hidden with stones when I would go to the Polish school. So I knew I was different. And then in 1939, September 1, then it really was happening. That's when Germany invaded Poland. And with a short time, we were thrown out of school. We were told never to come back. Like, you Jews do not come back to the school anymore. And the next thing, we were thrown out of our home into the ghetto.
This happened. This is not fiction. This is what millions of Jews experienced in World War II. And we'll play one more clip. We've got a little bit more to hear from Rose Price, but let's play one more clip right now. Clip number three, as she talks about the concentration camps.
We worked around, sometimes around the clock. We were constantly beaten. We had to make so many boxes a day of ammunition. And if not, you never left the machine. You had to make it if you had to stay a whole week without stop. Our food consisted on one slice of bread, a quarter of an inch thick, and one cup of coffee and sometimes a cup of soup. The torches, every Saturday afternoon, we would be marched up to the upper room. And this is what they called it, the upper room. And everything I want you to know was done in the name of Jesus.
Again, her experience was not unique. I spoke with a religious Jewish friend of mine who lives in a religious Jewish neighborhood. And I said to him, in the neighborhood where you live, is the Holocaust directly associated with Christianity? He said, of course. He said, if my father said the word Christianity, he would throw up. And you say, well, that's just false. Oh, okay, fine. Well, then what are we doing as followers of Jesus today? I'm a Jewish follower of Jesus. Most of you listening, just numerically, that's the way it's going to be demographically. Most of you listening to me are not Jewish. So as Gentile followers of Jesus, we're one in Jesus, but I'm just making this distinction here. What are we doing to show the Jewish community what followers of Jesus really look like? If I knew that people had poorly represented Jesus before I got to a country, it's happened. We've had American ministers over in countries before I got there, And they made a mess of things, or they printed bogus reports about what happened in their country and stuff. And I've gone over there, and the believers have been skeptical and cynical. Here's another American. And I had to apologize to them for what these other American ministers did because they brought reproach to the gospel. I had to apologize. I had to say to them, listen, this is not who we really are. I'm sorry you had this bad experience. And then little by little, as they heard me preach, as they watched me minister among them, they were willing to receive from Americans. But of course I was going to address it, and of course I was going to humble myself, and of course I was going to come in to serve even more. And the good news is that over the last generation, evangelical Christians in America have become Israel's best friends. But many are still missing the boat. Many are now embracing old and dangerous ideas about Israel and the Jewish people. We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I was running to the rabbi day and night until I went there with Isaiah 53. Then he threw me out. That made me angry enough to pick up my daughter's Bible, and I started with Matthew, and I was looking for the killer Jesus.
And what did you find?
I found a lamb. I couldn't find the killer. You know, he loved us so much.
What a story. It's Holocaust Remembrance Day. That's the voice of Rose Price, Holocaust survivor, lost her entire family except two relatives in Poland's death camps. She talks about entering the death camp and seeing an inscription, "Because you killed our God, we'll kill you." This is what she thought Christianity was. The trauma of having her own kids come to faith in Jesus, the shock of that. Can you imagine losing your entire family to the Holocaust, being hated as a Jew growing up in Poland, being persecuted by professing Christians, and now your family's going to believe in this Jesus? Let's listen to a bit more of Rose Price's testimony, and I'm going to be taking calls in the next hour, so if you're on hold, just stay with me, and I'm going to get to your calls shortly. Let's listen to a bit more of Rose's story, clip number 4.
We were undressed in Bergen-Belsen and stayed in the snow for 24 hours. I know it started at nighttime, and we stayed a whole night and a whole day. And many, many people died, fell, and that's how I survived. Their bodies fell against mine. And they would come every so often to take blood to see. The whole experiment was how quickly could the blood freeze and the people die.
How do you survive this? How do you come out of this without hatred, without bitterness, without anger, without being scarred for life? I mean, these are very understandable emotions. It's one thing to learn from the past and be sober and learn lessons from the past and warn others about the consequences of irrational hatred towards a group of people and what could come out of it. But then the emotions that come with it and the scarring for life, you understand how many people had a difficult time even surviving, just living after what they experienced in the Holocaust. And now Rose Price has a shock above all shocks happen as she's built a new life in America with her husband and 4 kids. Clip number 5, Rose Price being interviewed by Sid Roth.
One day, your daughter comes home and she says to her mother, "I believe in Jesus."
Yeah.
What happened?
Well, after they revived me, I after 3 days, I threw her out.
Real? Your own daughter?
My own daughter.
Why?
She went to my enemy. Because in the name of Jesus, all the atrocities were done.
So you kicked your own daughter out?
Yes.
And then shortly, your younger daughter, same thing?
Same thing. And my husband.
This is the nightmare of all nightmares for Rose Price. But God is dealing with her. God is at work in her life. Let's go to clip number 7.
After you spoke there, a man came up to you, and what did he say?
Well, he was one of six or seven men, but this particular man asked me to forgive him because he was a guard in Dachau.
You were in Dachau?
I was in Dachau, yes.
Well, what did, at that moment, be real right now, and I know you are, I know you are. Mm-hmm. What went through your mind when this...
Kill him. His job was punishment. And his mildest punishment was throwing us into the mud with face down and step on us and break the bones, because we were just bones, skin and bones. And many, many of the people just remained laying there and beating us, constantly beating us. And here he is kneeling in front of me.
What was he asking you for?
To forgive him. And I thought to myself, I forgive you. I'm going to send you where you wanted me to go. I mean, very simple. I didn't even remember I had spoken on forgiveness.
All right. What I failed to give in terms of background there, God works in her life. She studies the scriptures. She's just angry about things, studies the scriptures, realizes who Jesus really is, comes to faith. Here she is over in... over in Europe, and when she speaks at a stadium event on forgiveness, and this is where the guard comes up to her asking for forgiveness, and at this point she doesn't see any way that she can offer it. Clip number 8, an amazing part of Rose Price's story.
I was so semi-conscious. I only knew this guy hit me. This guy hurt me, and I have to break his neck, and that's the opportunity I have. And I put my hands out. And then the Lord just took my hands and put them back. The man got up, and I said something in German for the first time because I haven't spoken German. And I said, okay, I forgive you. But I really didn't mean it. It took me a while to learn to forgive. But I could say now, I totally forgive. Not just the Germans, but also the Polish.
It's a miracle, friends. To lose your family, to live through what you lived through, how in the world do you forgive? Only by the supernatural grace of God. God can work that kind of miracle, friends. It doesn't mean that you do not learn lessons from the past. It doesn't mean that you do not defend yourself. It does not mean you do not educate. It does not mean you don't have Holocaust Remembrance Day. No, quite the contrary. You do, so that the world will listen and look and learn. But the power to forgive, when someone comes pleading for forgiveness who's done horrific things to you, to be able to forgive from the heart, that comes from a heart that has received forgiveness and mercy. That's the power of the gospel. That's who Jesus really is. In fact, I'm reading right now from the Tree of Life version, Messianic New Translation of the entire Bible. Yeshua says this, Matthew 5:17, "Do not think that I came to abolish the Torah or the prophets. I didn't come to abolish, but to fulfill. Amen. I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or seraph shall ever pass away from the Torah until all things come to pass." And concludes by saying, "I tell you that unless your righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees and Torah scholars, you shall never enter the kingdom of heaven." Friends, a brand new translation, the entire Bible, these can sell for, what, $25 or more. We have an advanced set of copies that have been sent to us. And your gift of any size to help us in our Jewish ministry and our radio outreach, I can send you the complete Tree of Life Messianic version, literally hot off the press for the entire Bible. Call now, 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978. Again, we ask you to be as generous as you can to help with this, 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, human beings are guilty of committing a Holocaust in every generation, if not for the intervention of a merciful God. On this Holocaust Remembrance Day, we can listen, we can learn, we can remember. There are lessons for all of us, for all humanity today.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, friends, it is Holocaust Remembrance Day, and we're talking about important lessons to learn, all of us, important lessons for all of us to learn on this day, not just about Israel, not just about the Jewish people, but about human beings, about the human race, and a bunch of things of importance I want to talk to you about, including the future. Does Scripture speak of some type of Holocaust to come, or is the whole world going to be in the midst of this, or is God given special promise to deliver Israel, or are we looking at scriptures that speak of past events and interpreting them as if they speak of future events? We'll sort it out right here, 866-34-TRUTH. You may have noticed that initial lead-in sounded different. That's because I was delayed in transit this morning. I was in Nashville, Tennessee. I was not going to get in time to pre-record the spots that we do right before the broadcast starts. We do those about 40 minutes before the show. Was able to get here in time to do the show live, as always, but I recorded that into my phone in the airport, tried to find a quiet place in the airport, and then sent it into our faithful engineer, Joey, who was able to convert it and play it. So if you listen back to it, that is the background, 866-34-TRUTH. I'm going to go to the phones in a moment with this question. Do the scriptures point to a future Holocaust of sorts? Is that even imaginable? Is it possible that something like that could happen in the world today? Have we not learned the lessons of the past? What about this word in Jeremiah 30? Thus says the Lord, we've heard a cry of panic, of terror, no peace. Ask now and see, can a man bear a child? Why then do I see every man with his hands on his stomach like a woman in labor? Why is every face turned pale? Alas, that day is so great, there is none like it. It is a time of distress for Jacob, yet he shall be saved out of it. Is that speaking about the Babylonian captivity, destruction of Jerusalem 2,500 years ago? Is it speaking of other Jewish sufferings through the ages? Is it speaking of the Holocaust or something still to come? 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to the phones in Manhattan. Mary, thank you for calling The Line of Fire.
Thank you, Dr. Brown, for taking my call. When you're talking about the Holocaust, it hits me at both ends because I had relatives in the concentration camp. I had American relatives that hit the beaches of Normandy fighting against this.
Mm.
So it hits me on both sides.
Yeah, I'm sure it does.
And what's so sad about it is that even though you try to forgive, that's always with you. Because I, too, suffer from post-traumatic stress disorder from my own private Holocaust. But the thing of it is, Dr. Brown, this can happen again, and we have somebody in office right now who wants to give money to the enemies and train soldiers to kill Jews, and it upsets me to no end. And I feel as though I have to say this on this day because this is Holocaust Remembrance Day, and we should never forget because this can happen again.
Yeah, Mary, if not for God's merciful intervention, if not for God stepping in, I believe human beings would commit atrocities like this on a much greater level. In point of fact, all kinds of evil things are being done around the world and in America on a regular basis. We need to wake up for that reality. And yes, we work with people and governments and nations, but we better not put our trust in the human race because the human race is going to fail. Our trust must be in the living God. All right, we've got a lot to cover today. Stay tuned.
Light, hear our cry, send the fire. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
It's Holocaust Remembrance Day here on The Line of Fire. Well, it is around the world. If you were in Israel, then some hours back, you would have heard sirens sounding, and everyone stops. You're on the road. You may have seen this on video. Everybody stops. People just get out of their cars as the sirens sound. And these would have been sounds that would have been terrifying, familiar sounds in the time of the Holocaust. And then everyone just pauses for a time of silence and then gets back in their vehicles. The thing that you have to remember is that in the immediate aftermath in the Holocaust, in the decades that followed, with all the archival evidence that there is, with evidence of every kind in terms of the amount of deaths, the destruction, the horrors, there were people saying it never happened. There were people saying there were no gas chambers. There were people saying, no, the numbers are terribly exaggerated. This is widely believed in some parts of the world today, where there is no study of this subject because it's as if it never happened. If you were educated in East Germany, communist East Germany versus West Germany, you'd get very, very, very different educational view of recent history of that previous generation. If you grow up, say, under Hamas in Gaza and you're raised there, and that's your source of education, or you're raised in Iran or in Saudi Arabia, it's going to be very different than, say, if you're raised in Israel or raised in America in terms of the facts of what happened. I want to listen to Prime Minister Netanyahu. He is on CNN, and he is this is CNN's State of the Union. Joe, I want to go to clip number 9. And let's listen to what Prime Minister Netanyahu has to say about this subject. Clip number 9.
I try to reconcile that with the fact that he embraced just a few days ago the Hamas terrorist organization that denies the Holocaust and openly calls for a new extermination of the 6 million Jews of Israel. So President Abbas can't have it both ways. He can't say the Holocaust was terrible, but at the same time embrace those who deny the Holocaust and seek to perpetrate another destruction of the Jewish people. I think probably what he's trying to do is damage control. I think what President Abbas is trying to do is to placate Western public opinion that understands that he delivered a terrible blow to the peace process by embracing these Hamas terrorists. And I think he's trying to wiggle his way out of it.
Prime Minister Netanyahu talking about what's just happened in the Middle East as Mahmoud Abbas has now partnered Palestinian Authority, now partnered together with Hamas, say we are working together as one. Of course, that puts an end to any peace talks because Hamas has plainly and flatly said that they do not want any Jewish state. There will be no negotiations with Israel. They still stand for the annihilation of the Jewish people in the land or their eviction. Speaking of eviction, is it Daily News reporting, New York Post, pro-Palestinian activists leave eviction notices for Jewish New York University students. A pro-Palestinian NYU group targeted Jewish classmates with threatening eviction notices that were slid under dorm room doors in the dead of night, students said Thursday. Quote, if you do not vacate the premise, this is last week, if you do not vacate the premise by midnight on 25th April 2014, we reserve the right to destroy all remaining belongings. We cannot be held responsible for property or persons remaining inside the premises, read the notices which were delivered by members of the Students for Justice in Palestine. This eviction notice was posted in an NYU dorm Thursday. Then at the end, the warnings conclude this is not a real eviction notice. The group said there were replicas of notices routinely left at the homes of Palestinians by the Israeli government. That, of course, was because there were surrounding Arab nations that wanted to wipe out the Jewish people. That's the reason for eviction notices. This was in the midst of warfare. This was in the midst of conflict. And, oh, by the way, there were many other notices sent out saying, stay. There's no reason for you to leave. Stay. We are neighbors, Anyway, I only mention this because, once again, there is the demonizing of Jewish people. Once again, the scapegoating of Jewish people. Once again, the Jewish people being the evil occupiers, perpetrators, whatever it is. Wrote an article, The Irrationality of Jew Hatred. You can read it by going to my website, AskDrBrown.org, and clicking on latest article. You'll find it one or two down, or maybe at the top. But I note there that when the Black Plague decimated Europe in the Middle Ages, the Jews, already branded as Christ killers by the church, thereby guilty of deicide, were accused of starting the plague by poisoning the wells with a mixture made of spiders, lizards, and the hearts of Christians, mixed together with the sacred elements of the Lord's Supper. Outraged mobs slaughtered thousands of Jews as a result of this pernicious rumor. This happened. And they're irrational things being believed today. For example, there are widely visited websites like JewWatch.com, and if you go there, just beware. You will read some of the most vile anti-Semitic stuff imaginable. You have headlines there like, Vatican Jewish paper shows Judaization of Catholicism. And was Pope John Paul II Jewish? You'll even find stories about the, quote, 100 million Christian innocents who were exterminated by the anti-Christian Jewish Red Commissars in Russia under the orders of Trotsky, the Jewish Commissar of Commissars. If Steven Spielberg will never direct a Schindler's List movie for them or their genocide, why is that? Because Jews did it. And on it goes. How about this report? Here's the headline, Israelis Harvesting Black and Hispanic Children's Organs. Yeah. And here's the warning. People, protect your children. This is real. All of these children being killed and being found without organs. It's not a coincidence they're even doing it down here in Haiti. This was what's called the Caperville Daily News Online, and it provides alleged documentation. I kid you not, and people believe this. One of the fundamental lessons of the Holocaust is that people will believe a big lie. That people will believe these lies if they're told over and over again. And when you demonize a people, anything is possible in terms of how they're treated. When you demonize a people, anything is possible. How they're treated, how they're viewed, what people do to them. Listen, you have an economic collapse in any country in the world that brings real hardship and suffering on the nation. I'm not wishing this on anyone. You have an economic collapse. It brings hardship and suffering. People lose their jobs. People lose their homes. People are not able to get medical help. People aren't able to get food. I'm talking about real hardship, sickness, death. And then you blame it on, oh, it's all the fault of those illegal immigrants that are here. It's all the fault of those people. No, it's all the fault of the Asians, the Hispanics, the Jews, the blacks, whatever the group is. When you demonize them, anything is possible in terms of how they will be treated. What does the future hold? Do the scriptures address this? Let's go back to the phones in Fairfax, Virginia. Jay, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown, you got a good show, and you're really talking a lot of very pertinent information. Whether the Holocaust will happen again, to my belief, it will, and I see signs of it, such as what you're saying and other things. I thought the Bible predicted it in Ezekiel about Megiddo and nations turning on Israel. But I also wanted to say I see groups like Golden Dawn, another group in Hungary. They got a Nazi group that's hating the Jews. Svoboda in Ukraine. You have an Islamic Brotherhood who were allies with the Nazis during World War II. And I would also like to say, not getting too emotional, I guess some people think that the worst Nazis were Germans. Well, I can tell you they were not. Hungary, Croatia, Lithuania, France, right, you said Poland, Czechoslovakia, I think Bosnians, not the Serbs. The Serbs were good, but the Bosnian Muslims, Albanians, I think I have that right. that were ruthless. The Croatians were actually the most ruthless. I think you can look that up. But I would like to say on a positive note of going away, the good people were the Danes, the Swedes, the Serbians were saving Jews, and also, unbelievably, the Filipinos. They saved a lot of, well, saved some Jews that they brought there.
You know, Jay, as you speak, and I appreciate the emotion, and I thank you for the kind words, it reminds me of how fallen the human race is. It reminds me of what atrocities human beings can commit, and why we need to preach the gospel more loudly than ever. This world needs a savior, and we need transformation.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to The Line of Fire broadcast, 866-34-TRUTH. I personally believe, I'm just talking about Scripture now, I personally believe that the Scriptures do point to great upheaval at the end of the age for the whole world. Persecution of believers, some say that that will produce a great falling away of those that are not deeply rooted and sincere and committed. There will also be the greatest harvest the world has ever seen. I believe the closer we get to the end of the age, that we will be one step away from heaven and hell, so to say. In other words, the devil not hiding himself, just with his overt ugliness and attack in full action, mixed with his deceptive acts, and the gospel going forth, Jesus, Yeshua, being mightily, supernaturally exalted, and there is so a massive harvest of Jew and Gentile. I expect that. I believe the Scriptures point in that direction. And there are passages like Zechariah 12, and Zechariah 14 that do speak about Jerusalem being surrounded by enemies. In fact, let me read to you from from Zechariah the 12th chapter. And by the way, you will be able, in a very short period of time, as soon as the new Bibles arrive, to read directly from the book of Zechariah in the Tree of Life Messianic version. It's a brand new version. Different scholars working together, including a number of Messianic Jewish scholars, all committed believers, on a new translation of the Bible, not just for Messianic Jews, but for Christians to use in their churches and preaching, teaching that incorporates Messianic Jewish insights. For example, Jesus is Yeshua, and his mother is Miriam. And law in many passages would be Torah. And if it's not talking about principle or just law in another way, Christ is Messiah. This is throughout the translation in the New Testament. And Son of God is Ben Elohim. The other terms are very familiar. And you'll find it to be just a lively translation, but you'll find it to be one that is super practical, and one that will help you, just as you're reading it, be reminded of Jewish roots without reading something that'll be foreign to you. I'll give you an example, and then I'll read from Zechariah 12, as I promised. There is a whole shipment of books that are coming in the complete Bible. I'll be one of the first anywhere, one of the first ministries anywhere in the world to have these. And we're making them available to you, our listening audience, through a special arrangement with the publisher, with the head of the translation committee. I'm making these available to you for your gift of any size. If you'd like me to suggest an amount, $25 postage paid would be wonderful. Some of you can give much more than that to help us in Jewish ministry and outreach. Some can't give that much, but be as generous as you can, because you'll help us make a difference, and you'll be one of the first ever to have a complete Tree of Life Messianic Jewish translation of the Scriptures. We don't have this up on our website yet, so you have to call. That's 1-800-278-9898. 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. I'm reading from Jacob, on parentheses, James, at the top of the book, but it's Jacob, a slave of God and of the Lord Yeshua the Messiah to the 12 tribes in the diaspora, shalom. Now that reminds you who he's writing to, doesn't it? And that reminds you of this being a thoroughly Jewish book, this letter. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. So as you're reading it, it's a solid translation. But here, let's get to the second chapter. Let's get to the second chapter, and let's see what it says there. My brethren, do not hold the faith of our glorious Lord Yeshua the Messiah while showing favoritism. For if a man with a gold ring and fine clothes comes into your synagogue, and a poor person in filthy clothes also comes in, you say, well, your synagogue? No, that's where Jews, well, these were Jews. These were Jewish believers. Well, but that's not what my translation says. Ah, but the Greek says synagogue. That's the right translation. For if a man with a gold ring and fine clothes comes into your synagogue, these were Jewish believers in the place they met was called a synagogue. So you'll want to order this. Again, it's the whole Bible. It's the whole Bible. And this is the first time it's been available to the general public. So call now 1-800-278-9978 to order your copy, your generous gift of any size to help us in our radio outreach, our Jewish ministry, our going to the nations, our speaking truth and light in the midst of a decadent and fallen culture. You are helping us make a difference. So Zechariah 12, a pronouncement, and I'm reading from a different version now just because I don't have that physical Tree of Life Bible in my hand yet. I'm waiting for it to arrive any day. A pronouncement, the word of the Lord concerning Israel, the utterance of the Lord, who stretched out the skies and made firm the earth and created man's breath within. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a bowl of reeling for the peoples all around. Judah shall be caught up in the siege upon Jerusalem. It seems to be saying there will be an end time attack. When all the nations of the earth gather against her, in that day I will make Jerusalem a stone for all the peoples to lift. All who lift it shall injure themselves. And that day, declares the Lord, I will strike every horse with panic and its rider with madness, but I will watch over the house of Judah while I strike every horse of the peoples with blindness. So it doesn't mean that there has to be an invasion on literal horses, but this is speaking in the language of that day of an end-time attack. And what happens is God fights for Israel in the midst of this, and the Jewish people turn in repentance, and the Jewish people turn in recognition of God's mercy through the Messiah. They recognize who he really is, and they turn to the one whom they pierced, and they mourn in deep repentance. This is part of the final cleansing of Israel at the end of this age. Does it speak of attack? Yes. In the 14th chapter, it's even more vivid. The city shall be captured, speaking of Jerusalem. The houses plundered and the women violated. This is something Scripture says is still to come. And a part of the city shall go into exile, but the rest of the population shall not be uprooted from the city. Then the Lord will come forth and make war on those nations as he is wont to make war in a day of battle. On that day, he will set his feet on the Mount of Olives. Ah, the return of the Lord in glory and power. Now, that does not necessarily tell us what's going to happen 5 years from now or 10 years from now. That could be something that takes place in our lifetimes. I'm 59. Maybe you're 80 listening. Maybe it happened in your lifetime. Maybe you're 20 listening, happened in your lifetime. Maybe something happens 50 or 100 years. We cannot lay that out with precision. This much we do know, that there will be, according to Scriptures, a final attack on Jerusalem and Judah. There will be suffering, but God has promised to deliver Jacob, to deliver Israel out of it. And it will be part of his great act of salvation. And that's why it says in Zechariah 14 that the survivors of the nations that attacked Jerusalem will come to worship the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. Yeshua will come back in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who don't know God. This is real, not just myth. This is real. God will act. All right, we'll be back with your calls, more insights from the Holocaust.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution.
Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Boy, oh boy, Holocaust Remembrance Day, and Jewish leaders are not happy with remarks by Secretary of State John Kerry. Michael Brown, welcome to the line of fire, 866-34-TRUTH. Question for you, do you think the world has learned the lessons from the Holocaust, or is it possible that there could be another atrocity like that in our generation? Is it possible that people could do the same things against Israel, the Jewish people, or against some other people? Or have we sufficiently learned? Is it never again from here on in? Or is this just a shocking reminder of what human beings are capable of doing if God does not mercifully stop us? 866-34-TRUTH. So the Washington Times reports that Jewish leaders are fuming over remarks made by U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry, who cautioned that Israel risks becoming an apartheid state if a two-state solution cannot be reached. Now, Caroline Glick, in her new book, The One-State Solution, blasts America and blasts Israeli leaders for even talking about a two-state solution, saying it's guaranteed to fail. Guaranteed to fail. And she proposes a one-state solution with equal citizenship for Jews and Palestinians, and they vote together and come up with a joint government. And as preposterous as that would sound to many, she's saying it's the only viable alternative. Leave out Hamas and Gaza. Discount that. Mr. Kerry told senior officials during a closed meeting on Friday that a two-state solution is the only real alternative for Israel and the Palestinian territories. Quote, because a unitary state winds up either being an apartheid state with second-class citizens, or it ends up being a state that destroys the capacity of Israel to be a Jewish state. Well, on the one hand, I'm glad that he recognizes the importance of Israel being a Jewish state, but according to Ben-Gurion, all that requires is a Jewish majority. That's all that requires. This is not directly Holocaust-related, but it is Jewish news and worth talking about today. The Anti-Defamation League said that while it appreciates Mr. Kerry's commitment to the region, his comments, quote, use the repugnant language of Israel's adversaries and accusers and were not seen as expressions of friendship and support. Abe Foxman, ADL National Director, and by the way, I don't always agree with Abe Foxman, he said, it is startling and deeply disappointing that a diplomat so knowledgeable and experienced about democratic Israel chose to use such an inaccurate and incendiary term. State Department spokeswoman Jan Psaki said the secretary was simply repeating his view shared by others that, quote, the only way to have two nations and two peoples living side by side in peace and security is through a two-state solution. Hey, the Israeli Arabs who live in the land today, live in the land of Israel, they are not second-class citizens. They are not being treated in an apartheid manner. They have full participation in the country. They're not required to serve in the military, but they have full participation in the country politically and in other ways, and they have full citizenship rights. Anyway, 866-34-TRUTH. One other bit of news. There is a town in Spain, and the second half of its name is Kill Jews. Mata Judios. Forgive me if, or Judios, excuse me, if I'm pronouncing it incorrectly, which I'm sure I am. And according to a story on NBC News, it's a case of better late than never. Centuries after thousands of Jews were forced to convert, burned at the stake, or expelled, Spain is still grappling with its brutal and deep-seated anti-Semitic past. The 56 residents of Castrillo Mata Judios, which is near the northern city of Burgos, are set to decide on May 25th whether to change the village name, the second half of which translates to Kill Jews. Anyway, another story of interest on this day. Who would ever imagine history the way it's unfold? Who would ever imagine that these things have happened over the centuries? And yet, this is laid out in Scripture, the irrational hatred, and yet God preserving a people.
Fire we want, for fire we please. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to The Line of Fire broadcast, 866-34-TRUTH. Your understanding of the prophetic scriptures as you look at the world scene, do you think there could be another turning against the Jewish people? Do you think there, or is Israel too well armed and protected now? Do you think America could turn on the Jewish people? Do you think America could become anti-Israel? Do you think the professing church of America could become anti-Israel? I mean, after all, that's been the pattern through much of church history for a large majority of the professing church to be anti-Israel. Could it happen again? Is it just a given that true Christians will love the Jewish people, that true Christians will recognize God's hand on the Jewish people? Yes, everyone needs Jesus. Without Jesus, Jew and Gentile alike are lost. That's not the issue under discussion. The issue is standing together in solidarity, recognizing God's hand at work. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Charlotte, North. Been holding for a while, but let me get on with a few other things, and then we'll get back to the phones. A number of lessons from the Holocaust. Number one, people will believe a big lie. People will believe a big lie. No, as much as we say no, and people believe lies. They believe lies about individuals. They believe lies against people groups. It's true. A second lesson from the Holocaust is that human beings are capable of mind-boggling evil. I mentioned the first hour, but I'll mention it again, talking to one of our grads who is involved in combating human trafficking, sex trafficking. He just told me about some of what he witnessed, what he saw in front of his eyes in Pakistan and some other countries, and described it to me. He said it's unspeakable, and what he ran into in Eastern Europe, and you've got people doing this just to make a buck. I mean, it's one thing if you sell drugs to a minor and you could really mess that person's life up. You would say, hey, they just want to get high, they want to have a good time, and that's their choice to do it, and I'm facilitating it. I'm breaking the law, but that's how I'm making my money. So you got some organized crime, and okay, that's evil, that's wrong, that's destructive. But when you are involved in kidnapping people, selling people into slavery, seducing them with false promises, and then they may die in a few years from the life that they live, or a sexually transmitted disease, or murder, or beating, or whatever, and you're a partner to that, you're part of that, and you're doing it just to make money? And do you know how much of the abortion industry is driven by greed? And on it goes. I'm talking about all types of human evil. We are capable of doing things that are mind-boggling. That horrific serial killer you read about, that was a fellow human being. The Nazi murderers, those were fellow human beings. The Crusaders, and those who burned Jews at the stake for their alleged crimes and sins, those were fellow human beings. The guy that shoots his children in a rage, those are fellow human beings. That is what human beings can do. That's why we need the gospel, and that's why we need to recognize how merciful God is, and that's why we need to recognize that judgment's ultimately coming. I don't want to ask this in an accusing way, so let me try to phrase it rightly. It boggles my mind that some Christians, are not acutely aware of the intensity of the coming judgment on the human race. That some Christians are not shaken and moved by the fact that God will bring judgment on a sinning, non-repentant world. And then, of course, there will be the accounting before him at the great white throne. These are sobering things. These are not things to make light of. Why did Paul speak so much? Yes, Paul. Why did Paul speak so much about the wrath of God that was coming? This was not a very real, important subject to him. And this underscores the depth of mercy that has been poured out on us. Number three, when you demonize a people, Anything's possible. Jews have been scapegoated for many, many things. For example, 1215, and if you're listening, you're of Catholic background, there has been great sin among professing Catholics and great sin among professing Protestants and others against the Jewish people. When the Catholic Church declared in 1215 that the elements of communion literally became the body and blood of Jesus, Jews were accused of stealing and torturing communion wafers, leading to whole Jewish communities being burned at the stake. In the Muslim world today, it's still believed that every year Jews kidnap and torture an innocent victim using his blood to make Passover matzah, unleavened bread. This has been serialized on Islamic TV stations. This has been put in novels and so on, and cartoons for children. These things are believed. You scapegoat a people, you demonize a people. Now they become less than people. It's very easy to commit atrocities against them. Again, human beings are capable of doing this. A fourth lesson is that anti-Semitism is always going to have a strain of irrationality. Yes, I know there are hatreds against other peoples that are irrational, but there's something demonically irrational against anti-Semitism. Now, a quick note. I noticed that someone was replying to my article on the irrationality of anti-Semitism on WorldNet Daily. And, let me get down to this. Here we go. I won't read the person or a couple's name that comment. I don't want to embarrass them. But here's what they say. Anti-Semitism? ? I think not. Words have meaning, don't you know? There are many, many millions of Semitic people who are not Jewish. Anti-Israel, anti-Jewish, or anti-Yehuda. That is what the world is. Okay, on the one hand, they're recognizing that there is widespread anti-Semitism. But the fact is, this is what the word means. In other words, when the word was coined, when the phrase was coined, it was specifically regarding this Semitic people, the Jews. So when it's used, that's what it means. When you say anti-Semitism, here, Semitism, in a totally different context, refers to a grammatical syntactic form of speech used in Semitic languages. In other words, a Semitic-like form of speech, asemitism. Well, that's not what it means. We understand. And it's not saying you're against all Semites. So please, the words have been used a certain way. It's like I say, butterfly, you better believe that has meaning. That fly has nothing to do with butter. And that's not even a fly, that's a butterfly, that's a moth, and a caterpillar moth, a caterpillar, and then it comes out as a butterfly, and it's got nothing to do with butter, and it's not a fly. That's what the word refers to. So please, there's no need to argue about the meaning of the word when it's had a universal usage for decades and decades and decades and decades. But the fact is, the Kansas City shooter who wanted to kill Jews and ended up killing Christians, he believes these lies. He believes them. Article 17 of the Hamas Charter, and remember, Hamas is active on a regular basis of trying to bomb Jews and kill Jews and kidnap Israeli soldiers. This they do on a regular basis. Article 17 of the Hamas Charter. I don't know if it's been revised in any recent days, but I know that this, I read it myself and referenced it again before I printed this, posted this article. This has been part of their historic charter. Zionist organizations, under various names and shapes, such as Freemasons, Rotary Clubs, espionage groups, and others, are all nothing more than cells of subversion and saboteurs. These organizations have ample resources that enable them to play their role in societies for the purpose of achieving the Zionist targets and to deepen the concepts that would serve the enemy. So the Freemasons, the Rotary Clubs, these are just Zionist organization and cells of subversion and saboteurs. So not only The Jews control the media, finances, the political system, and according to some theorists, the Vatican. Not only are the Jews guilty of covering up Israel's involvement in 9/11 attacks, murdering hundreds of millions of Christians and others, this was the claim of the Kansas City shooter, and even harvesting human organs, this is all in my article, but the Jews, specifically the Zionists, also control the Freemasons, Rotary Clubs, and other espionage groups, all of which are nothing more than cells of subversion and saboteurs. Of course, these horrific charges are so absurd that they're laughable, except for the fact that multiplied millions of people believe these are rationalized to be true, which is nothing to laugh about. Let us learn lessons from the past. I want to come back with some redemptive thoughts on this Holocaust Remembrance Day.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, on this Holocaust Remembrance Day, there are those still around the world denying that the Holocaust happened or discounting the level of suffering and the numbers of deaths. 866-34-TRUTH. I played a bunch of audio clips in the first hour. I've only taken a few calls, but I want to encourage you to listen to the entire broadcast where you hear Rose Price's testimony and her forgiveness of even a sadistic guard that she suffered under who came asking for forgiveness after the Holocaust. That's the power of the gospel. And I want to talk about that, the redemptive side of this, in a moment. But Memory TV, this is Israeli-based. They monitor what's being taught and broadcast on Egyptian TV, Iranian TV, Palestinian Authority TV, etc. And you can go to the site, just search for Memory, M-E-M-R-I TV. You'll actually see, here's the show, here's the guy speaking in Arabic or the lady speaking in Farsi, here's the translation. It's not just a matter of someone said that it happened. April 18th, so this just 10 days ago. In a recent Egyptian TV interview, former Egyptian MP, so parliamentary member, Dr. Salah Abdallah, compared Zionism to Nazism and questioned the number of Jews who had been killed in the Holocaust, saying that the numbers had been exaggerated in order to pump money into the Israeli economy. Quote, Zionism reached an agreement with Nazism to frighten the Jews who wanted to remain so that they would emigrate. Folks, this is being watched on TV by impressionable people who already have a very negative view towards Israel. Here's a question raised. How did Israel benefit from this? Emigration to Israel increased drastically in Russia, Britain, and the U.S. participated in pushing the people to emigrate. That way they got skilled workers, doctors, nurses, engineers, and so on. That's one thing. For another, Germany was forced to pay reparations to the tune of over $60 billion. Interviewer, it was pumped into the Israeli economy. The guest, France had to pay $50 billion, which were pumped into the Israeli economy, not to mention donations coming from the U.S., Britain, and others. So Israel's entire lifeline was based upon this money, which was pumped into. And then the interviewer jumps in, but I'd like you to explain the official record of the German prisons and detention camps during the Nazi rule. Indicates that the number of Jews in these camps did not exceed 20,000. This is on Egyptian TV a little over a week before Holocaust Remembrance Day. Despite this, successive German governments have given into this type of extortion, have paid all this money. If their own official records give a figure of 20,000 Jews, why have they been paying all this money to this day? By the way, it's just bogus lie, L-I-E, lie. Completely false. There were meticulous records kept with shocking, shocking, shocking numbers confirming what we understand in terms of the enormity of the Holocaust. The guest says it is because of a decision to prosecute anyone who denies the Holocaust. If the Germans deny the Holocaust, their government would be prosecuted. And don't forget that Germany has been under occupation since World War II. To this very day, there are American troops in Germany. Ah, so American troops in Germany. America's forcing Germany to not speak against the Holocaust. It's our troops there that are doing this, and therefore Germany is paying all this money to Israel about bogus figures of people who were never really killed. And much of the Muslim world believes this. You think it's going to take much to trigger deeper hostilities in the Middle East? You think we don't need to be praying for God's will and God's best and God's mercy and salvation to be poured out? And yes, the ever controversial British MP George Galliwell, thanks for these links, man. I appreciate them. Recently compared Gaza to the Warsaw Ghetto, saying that while the people of the ghetto uprising were hailed as heroes, the Palestinians, when they rise up out of their Warsaw Ghetto, are called terrorists. Galloway speaking on his weekly show on the Iranian English language press TV channel on April 12, 2014, so again, 2 weeks before Holocaust Remembrance Day, also said the Egyptian junta was doing Israel's work in murdering nearly 2 million Palestinians in Gaza. And this is a British parliamentary member. Anti-Semitism, Jew hatred is alive and well. Which reminds us that God is more alive than anti-Semitism and God is more alive than Jew hatred. When I say more alive, I mean his reality transcends all of this. And he is at work. Out of the ashes of the Holocaust, the modern state of Israel was born. Who could have imagined that? God bringing life out of madness and mind-boggling suffering. And Israel recently celebrated its Jewish population rising to 6 million, which of course was highly symbolic in number. And in the midst of this, in the midst of the horror of the Holocaust, God was saving people and delivering people and having mercy. And Yeshua was appearing to people and making himself real. And there were those involved in the Holocaust so grieved over their sin that they came repenting later. And to me, the image of the Jewish people suffering helps us remember that Jesus, Yeshua, is one of us. He's not the one with the sword. He's the one who was put to death. He's not the one who is attacking and bringing people into subjection. He is the one who laid his life down so that people could be saved and forgiven. There's salvation for Nazis. There's salvation for other perpetrators. But here's the deal. Until you recognize that as a human being, you're also guilty in God's sight, until you recognize as a human being that you also fall short, and I also fall short, we can point a finger at all the other evil, but we need to recognize without God's mercy, we are all terribly, terribly lost. One of the most exciting things for me is to read a new translation of the Bible, to dig into the scriptures, and to, especially if it's got insights or something unique about it. And I'm so excited that our ministry will be one of just a handful in the States. In the coming days, we'll be getting a shipment of the Tree of Life version, the complete Bible. It is a Messianic Jewish version, but it is for all believers. It's done carefully. I was able to participate in a good part of it and give input. It is sensitive to Messianic perspectives. For example, when you read Jacob 5:14, you're reading Jacob, not James, as it is in the Greek. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of Messiah's community. You say, well, my translation says church. Well, church is misleading. I could speak of a building or just something later in Christian. We're just talking about the Messiah's community. Believers. Ah. The prayer of faith will save the one who's sick. The Lord will raise him up. Anyway, I would suggest a gift of $25, but your gift of any size, we will send you this brand new translation, the complete Bible, the Old and New Testament, the Tanakh, the New Testament together. Your gift of any size, we just ask you to be as generous as you can, because obviously we are paying for these. They're not being given to us. We're paying for them, but we want to make them available to you. First come, first serve basis. 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, if we do not learn the lessons of the past, as other wise men have said, we'll just repeat the same ones again in the future.